When you study revivals and the great awakenings of past history, you will see a common ingredient: groups of young adults passionately praying and demonstrating radical obedience to God. Groups of teenagers have played a leading role in these massively powerful God movements, both in biblical times and more recent times. Did you know that it's likely that some of Jesus' disciples were teenagers? Do you remember that story in Matthew 17 where Jesus instructs Peter to go fishing and for the temple tax money? Now, even though all the disciples were present, only Jesus and Peter paid the temple tax. Now, when you cross-reference the temple tax with Exodus 30, you will find that only those over the age of 20 would need to pay. Given this, and the fact that a young man's discipleship training under a rabbi usually began between the ages of 13 and 15, it is likely that teenagers were included among the disciples. So, although the Bible doesn't give the exact ages of the disciples, I like to think of Jesus as a youth leader with one adult sponsor, Peter, and one rotten kid named Judas. God has used groups of young people all throughout history to advance his kingdom and wake up his church, and it's still happening today. This is why I believe in youth ministry. In my 15 years of working with teenagers in the churches, I have seen God use youth groups to motivate their churches to wake up to what God is doing and get on board with it. I've seen it in small ways where a youth group comes back from a powerful retreat or a missions trip and they are connected with God and they're loving His presence, and that next Sunday morning they are passionately worshiping God. And the rest of the congregation is challenged by this heartfelt worship, and they join in the worship culture of that church begins to change. I've also seen it happen in large ways, where whole churches get on mission to reaching their communities and making disciples because of what God started to do through the youth group. Your youth ministry has so much potential to impact your church and community, to make disciples and advance the kingdom. But sadly, lots of youth ministries don't live up to this potential, and some youth ministries actually send harmful messages to their teenagers about who they are and about the mission of the church. I've seen well-intending youth leaders who love their students develop a strategy around positive entertainment rather than discipleship training. These youth leaders turn into glorified babysitters rather than ministry equippers. The focus of these youth groups are on attracting youth rather than training youth to go and make disciples. Youth come for the games or pizza and Mountain Dew rather than attraction to Jesus. The message is, come for a good time and put up then with a little bit of God talk and a little bit of God stuff, and not come and follow Jesus and experience the amazing life that he has for you. Now, I'm not saying that youth groups shouldn't have pizza and play games. Those are fun things to do as a youth group. But games and food cannot be the reason to come. Otherwise, we sell them a cheap and empty vision for the church, one that won't stay relevant as they mature. A high percentage of teenagers who grow up in the church end up finding no interest or value and later leave the church. Now, I'm not putting all this blame for this exodus on youth ministries. Many factors play in, but a gospel-advancing youth ministry makes an enormous impact that causes teens to participate in the mission of Jesus Christ. I've seen it happen over and over again. Teenagers want Jesus and find Jesus attractive when they actually meet him. You don't have to spice up Jesus with entertainment. Students want to get on mission. They want a purpose. They want to get skin in the game to advance the gospel by making more disciples. Jesus gave a very clear mission to the church. In Matthew 28, he said, "Go and make disciples, teaching them to follow me." And when students experience this, they become excited and passionate about living the life with God. Now, I know there can be a lot of pressure from church leaders, parents, students, and other sources to make youth group a positive entertainment hangout spot. But I want to encourage you to go down a different road, one that looks a lot more like how Jesus trained his group of teenagers. You will probably lose some students that are in your program, and people at church may push back, saying, "Come on, make it more attractional." But in the end, you will end up with a group of students that are on mission to make disciples. And there's nothing more exciting in youth ministry than to meet a new student who is following Jesus because one of your students shared the gospel with them and is discipling them. This is how you want your youth group to grow. It's slower. It's not as flashy. But it's real kingdom growth. It's the right numbers that matter, and those right numbers are new conversion growth. So here's a good question to talk about with your youth staff, and maybe even with your students. Ask this: how many students are coming to our program because a student from our youth group shared the gospel with them? Look, if we want to reach high schools with the gospel, we need to train high schoolers to share the gospel. Students, not teachers, not youth leaders, are going to reach the other students. That's why the focus of youth ministries should be placed where young people are being trained to reach their friends with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, this is going to look different in every context, but the vision is the same: training youth to reach their friends with the gospel. Now, this is scary for youth, and it takes a lot of boldness, and it's hard. So they need your help. Youth need to be able to say with Paul in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to the salvation of everyone who believes." And this happens when students are equipped to share the gospel, when they have seen lives transformed, including their own. This is a youth ministry that makes a difference in the church and in the community, a gospel advancing youth ministry. My church has used a strategy we call Alive to Shine. Maybe what we do can give you some ideas of helping your youth ministry focus more on teaching youth to make disciples. Our vision at Alive to Shine is equipping students to know and advance the gospel. And the strategy is to meet with our students every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. for gospel training. The first Wednesday of the month is called Reality Check. The focus for this is Bible teaching. We want our students to know the Bible and to know how to feed themselves through the Word. We go through a chapter or part of a chapter each Reality Check from the book of the Bible that we've chosen for at the beginning of the year. We teach verse by verse and not topical because we want students to know how to read the Bible and how to find the truth that it holds. In Sunday school, we sometimes cover topics, but Wednesday night reality checks are expository teaching from the Word. Our teaching times are mixed with small group discussions and object lessons to help the students learn applications. That night, we also track goals and we set for the group, and we talk about gospel conversations that students have had, and we take communion together. There's also some good hangout time that happens afterwards as we connect and build relationships with each other. Our second Wednesday night is called Undignified. Our main focus for that night is worship. A small youth band leads the group in singing and prayer, and next we move into a time called Cookies, Cocoa, and God. With our Bibles and some cookies and a cup of cocoa, we scatter around the room and spend alone time with God. And during this time, we're asking God to speak to us the things that we need to hear as we quiet ourselves. The students love this time, and it's amazing how God speaks. to them. And then we gather together in gender-specific small groups that we call pods. And every volunteer staff leads a pod, and the pod gives a student time to share what God has been saying. And then we end it in praying for each other. Our third Wednesday night is called Advance. This night is all about training students to share the gospel with their friends. A youth ministry called Dare to Share made a game-changing difference in our youth ministry. Dare to Share is based out of Colorado, and it has a vision to equip and mobilize teenagers to share the gospel. They want to see every teenager reached with the gospel by another teenager. I highly recommend Dare to Share. This organization provides training for leaders and events on an incredible curriculum to mobilize our students to share the gospel. The fourth Wednesday of the month is called Pod Night. We spend time in our small groups called pods, sharing and praying together. We want students to have the opportunity to share about their journeys with God. You know, like what's going well and what's confusing and what's hard. We call it the happy and crappy of following Jesus. After students share, and they get prayed for by their pod. Now, there's those months that have that fifth Wednesday in there. During that Wednesday, we invite the parents to come and join in with the students for a parent meeting about upcoming stuff and different changes that are happening in youth ministry. Afterwards, we hang out and intentionally build relationships through volleyball, board games, and just chilling together. There are three main events that are a really important part of our yearly training at Alive to Shine. And the first one is the I Am Retreat. It's in Millersburg, Ohio. This Friday to Saturday retreat in November helps students refocus on God. Students need a weekend getaway. They can seek God and listen to what He's saying to them. This retreat has passionate speakers. It has powerful worship times and good connecting times as a group. If your youth group is looking for a fall retreat to help students grow in their faith, come out and join us. Another event is Dare to Share Live. This is a one-day training for students streamed to churches all over the country. Students are equipped with tools to help them share the gospel with their friends. And then after they are trained, they actually go do it, like right then and there. They begin texting friends to get conversations started, and they also hit their local streets sharing the gospel. It's an awesome event. The third event is our mission trips. We find a place that needs to hear the gospel, and we raise money and we go there. The point of the missions trip is to give our students a chance to share the gospel in a different context. It's meant to help them apply their training in different situations and areas. Most of our trips are focused on larger cities around us. So that's our basic rhythm and strategy for our Alive to Shine youth group. It's not perfect, and it's always evolving as we figure out how to do it better. But it is centered on the vision of equipping students to know and advance the gospel with their friends. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And this current harvest of teenagers called Generation Z are the first post-Christian group. They need to be reached with the gospel. We need every Christian teenager to be equipped and mobilized to share the gospel with their friends. Don't waste your youth ministry on positive entertainment and gimmicky attractions where having a good time is the goal. Join the mission of Christ in training disciple makers. Make your youth ministry a gospel advancing youth ministry.